All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and just for listeners before, you're listening to the song Poetry by Text by Alex Sky. Now, we've got on to our second interview, that live interview that we're doing for the program, and very happy to introduce Andrew Hewitt, who is the Assistant Secretary of the Victorian Allied Health Professionals. Good morning, Andrew.
Morning, Jacob. Good to speak to you.
Yeah. So, we're speaking to you today because your union kind of recently had a winning 7 days paid special leave for kind of COVID isolation for public sector healthcare workers within your union. Now, I guess before I go into kind of the specifics of that victory and on the kind of agreement, I guess I want to hear from you, I guess, about, in the kind of lead up to this kind of win, what was actually the kind of arrangement? Because it does seem to me like in the context of the crisis that we're in with the healthcare system, it would seem to be a bit abnormal, this idea that if a healthcare worker were to contract COVID, that they wouldn't be entitled to any kind of special leave and they would have to essentially in some sense pay for the isolation on their own, or in some cases maybe they might get the government support. So yeah, I guess I want to hear sort of staff your comments on that.
Yeah, thanks, Jacob. I'll just clarify, it wasn't just our union that managed to achieve this. Health unions have been working fairly collaboratively through the pandemic, and this has been an issue for all healthcare workers. We represent allied health professionals, but the same rules are applying across the health sector. So this is, you know, an important step in the process of trying to improve the conditions for healthcare workers. And who are under, as we everybody knows, under considerable duress at the moment. But you're right, there was some anomalies in the system that meant that basically if you were COVID positive and had to isolate or for a period of time or quarantine, and remember it was up until not that long ago, it was 14 days was the period that you were required under the public health orders to isolate if you were COVID positive before you could return to work and before you could even circulate in the community. That was reduced late last year down to 7 days. But up until recently, if you were isolating and were COVID positive and symptomatic, then you had to use your own personal leave. But if you had to isolate because you were a close contact, then you were eligible to actually get paid special leave. And it's been kind of loosely termed pandemic leave, but technically it was termed paid special leave, and that was designed really to ensure people did stay home and so that they went out of pocket. So healthcare workers for quite some time, up until just recently, were having to dip into their own personal leave if they were COVID positive. But if they weren't COVID positive but still had to isolate, then they were getting paid leave. And that's recently changed, and that's fairly significant. And we're very pleased that we've been able to get that fixed.
And yeah, so what can you, I guess, tell us a bit more about the victory in it kind of itself, especially the kind of type of campaigning that, you know, because you mentioned that this was a collaborative effort between all the kind of health kind of care kind of unions. And yeah, tell us a bit more some of the dynamics of that and the victory that has been secured.
Well, it's been an interesting period. There's been considerable collaboration, as I said, amongst the health unions. But we've also had an incredible amount of access to the health department and the government officials throughout the pandemic. And hats off to them for engaging with the health unions. We haven't always got our way, and we haven't always seen eye to eye, and that's inevitable. And this is one of those particular issues that. That we've been sort of raising throughout that has been seen as anomalous and a problem. And after 2 years of the pandemic, a lot of healthcare workers, they've burnt through their sick leave entitlements because it's not just about COVID. If any of them have any symptoms at all, and you know, we've changed the culture to some degree that, which for a good thing, in a good way, that people, you know, traditionally, you know, they'd soldier on through the cold or even the flu in some situations, you know, and go to work to, you know, support their colleagues and keep the system running. And that's, we know that now that's unacceptable. And so during the pandemic, that had to change, and people with any sort of symptoms at all had to stay home. And if they stayed home than they're using their sick leave. And as a consequence, there was far more sick leave throughout the pandemic. As a consequence, a small cold, then you had to stay home. And that's the way it should be, so that you're not spreading it to everybody else and you're getting the time to rest and recuperate yourself. But over that period, people have used up their sick leave. And so we've been raising the issue around access to sick leave throughout. And it's just been, one of those classic scenarios of chipping away, and finally, we've got there, and we've got that 7 days of pandemic leave included in their entitlement.
Thanks for that. Morning, by the way, Andrew. This is Leo, the other presenter. I just wanted to ask a bit of a broader question about leave in general, because I think one of the things this pandemic has exposed is just how precarious a lot of the leave entitlements are that many workers face, especially casual workers, in the midst of a, really serious pandemic. Can you briefly speak to how minimal protections the Fair Work Act really offers to workers who aren't in quite secure roles, which is sort of a trend we've been seeing with the casualisation of the workforce, and the importance of workers having quite flexible sort of leave, which, we've seen the introduction of, for example, family violence leave, the importance of these various leave entitlements to cover all sorts of situations, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, Leo. And look, casuals are a particularly vulnerable part of our workforce, and we know that. And they've always, been exposed by the lack of access to leave entitlements. You're right. I'm talking about domestic violence leave is an important one, and these are sort of things that the unions are continually fighting to get recognised and continually fighting to get into their agreements, and it is a challenge, but it's also an important process. And the pandemic has exposed that there's a lot of vulnerabilities in the system. They were already there; we knew that, but the pandemic has exposed that when people have been forced to take leave, luckily for the healthcare workers, there's been considerable opportunities for them to access this special leave, other than, as I was saying, that the problem, the anomaly that we have with the if they're isolating because they have a positive, so that there's been a special leave available if for the 4-hour period if they were going to get their vaccination. If they had a reaction after the vaccination, then they would get 2 days of special leave, and if they were now if they're in isolation, then they get the 7 days. That's really important, but we've identified that the sick leave entitlements for a lot of healthcare workers are inadequate in the background, and we've been pushing to get that increased. And enterprise bargaining is one of our biggest tools or weapons to enforce and ensure that workers have access to adequate leave. And so these types of leaves, while there is leave entitlements across the board, we're continually pressing through enterprise bargaining to try and improve access to leave. I mean, and our union at the moment's in bargaining process for the public sector across the state, and one of our claims is to increase access to sick leave entitlements.
All right. Well, Andrew, just wondering, I guess we've sort of covered quite a bit, and I guess, do you have it, and we're kind of running a bit out of time as well, do you, have any kind of final comments you sort of want to kind of end on, and especially, in terms of this kind of discussion?
I think, thanks, Jacob. I think, there's so much going on at the moment, and the goalposts keep moving, but, we're seeing at the moment huge workforce shortages, and that's an opportunity from our point of view to highlight the importance of looking after your workers, and getting better conditions and better entitlements is a good way to do that. And so we're hoping that this is a bit of a wake up for employers and the government, that they realise how important the work their workforce is, and hopefully they listen more to the unions and they address that through better entitlements.
No. Well, thank you very much, kind of Andrew, and I guess all solidarity to you. I guess the struggle to keep this going, because basically, yeah, I imagine like healthcare unions are going to be in they're going to be doing a lot of campaigning and bargaining over the next several months. So yeah, all power to you, and congratulations on your victory to secure 7 days paid special leave for COVID isolation.
Yeah, thank you, Jacob, and thank you, Leo. Cheers.
Thanks, Andrew.
Bye.
All right. So we're just having a discussion with Andrew Hewitt, the Assistant Secretary of VAPA, about their recent union win of securing 7 days paid special leave for COVID isolation.